Okay, Tov, good morning. We are on page Kufnun Beis of Shara Mitfila in the Pirkei Siyam, the completing chapters of this outstanding Sefer that we've been learning together. I hope it's been enhancing and adding meaning to your life it has to mine. And in these Pirkei Siyam, Rav Pinkus has been developing the idea of the eternality of Hashem, that the prerequisite to being able to connect to Hashem is to understand how categorically different He is than we are. That to think of Hashem in our terms, just exaggerated or expanded versions of us, is to falsify or to have a grave error. That ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is categorically different. I shared with you, as the Rambam says, we only talk about Hashem in negative terms. He's not bound by time. He's not bound by space. He's not limited in this way or that way. Because we can't talk about what He is. We can only talk about what He's not. And what He's not is anything that we can connect to. And it's only when we recognize and appreciate that is the creator of the universe, who has dominion over the world, who is involved intimately in everything in our lives, is aware of everything, and brings consequence to everything. It's only in that context that tefillah becomes meaningful. We're not davening to a friend. We're not sharing, even with a human being with power. We are a presumptive nominee. We are... That's why I'm not shaving. Morning. We are turning to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Master of the Universe, who's all powerful. And the notion of Nitzchius, His eternality, His being infinite and omnipotent, is an important prerequisite to tefillah. Many people have very immature, unsophisticated notions of Hashem. I don't know, when people daven, they picture a superhero, they picture an aspect of nature, they picture something they like in life, they picture a scene. These are very, in some sense, immature, very understandable in some ways, because we need a tangible physical representation or way to connect. The whole story of the Kuzari and the Cheta Egel and the Mishkan. But we need to grow up, in a sense, and mature in recognizing Hashem is nothing we can picture. He's nothing we can relate to. He is so outstanding, so great, so extraordinary. And that only in that backdrop, when we stand, Dal ifnei mi ata omed, know before whom you stand. And that knowledge of before whom you stand is knowing how categorically different He is than we are. Before somewhere, the first paragraph, Kufnun Beis. Before somewhere, and it's well known, says Rav Pinkus, that to understand God's greatness, eternality, one has to draw a metaphor, an allegory. For example, picture a great mountain, an enormous mountain. I'm not a mountain climber. What's a large mountain? Everest. Picture Mount Everest. Hagavoh b'yosef, arach b'yosef ba'olam, the tallest and widest in the world. Im tovot tzipor ketana v'tikach gargir afar me'ahar v'tizurkeu liyam. Let's say a small bird flew to the top of that mountain, and in its beak took a tiny grain of sand and threw it in the sea. Achar elof shana tasa kein pam shni, after 1,000 years did it again. V'kach pam achar pam. Over and over, a bird flies to the top of this mountain, takes one grain of earth, of soil, and throws it in the sea. B'kach lo'olam, and forever does this. Af pi she'ein chisaron murgash klal, the lack or the displacement of the one grain will not be perceived. Afilo achi achri harba, miyardei miyardei shanam yagi hayom, sharei ha'gadol har ha'gadol yafeich lebika. After myriads of years, this mountain, if done consistently, will turn into a valley. Right? After gazillions of trillions of billions of years of the bird taking in its beak a grain of sand and doing it. It'll take forever, literally, but it could happen. So if you're picturing in your mind, how long would that take? What would that look like to turn Mount Everest into flat or into a valley? How long would that take?
Billions.
And that's longer than anything you could picture or imagine. Picture how long that would take, and you can't. And that is not the beginning of the tip of the iceberg of what Nitzchius, of what eternity is. Eternity is beyond our comprehension. When we picture the longest picture we could possibly imagine, infinity amount of time, we haven't even touched what eternity is. And this mashal is the reality.
But
And while to a one degree it's this mashal is accurate, on the other it doesn't begin to touch the surface. And the problem is that this metaphor only talks about eternity in the realm of time. It would take forever for that bird to go back and forth and accomplish that. Well, forever is only in the realm of time. So if you're talking about, you know, for every mitzvah you do, there's an eternal reward. There's an eternal reward for every mitzvah we do. Every kind deed, every thoughtful, sensitive act, every moment, bein adam lamakom, every decision that was based on yiras shamayim, there's a schar, there's a reward of nitzchias. Well, what does that mean? A reward that is eternal. We only talked about time, which is quantitative. But the qualitative component of eternity is beyond our comprehension. And yet, that's the promise to us for every mitzvah, for every good thing we do, for every moment of Torah learning. You know, it's not like the pleasures of this world. You have a great meal, you thought it was unbelievable, you'll never forget it. By the time you've digested it, it's in the rearview mirror. It's part of history. In this world, whatever pleasure you've enjoyed, the vacation you were on, you know, before you're unpacked, it's already over. The whatever pleasure you can imagine or picture or have experienced in this world is fleeting. It's momentary. And even the lasting ones, they're only lasting on your hips and your waistline. They're not lasting in a meaningful way. So nimtash be'emes musag hanetzach atzmo kagdara satana glomala v'lo morid ein evdel be'icha satana gimu nitzchi ocholif hudavar she'efshar la'omro ala vaday she'nitzchi osim etzius chadashim yichedes la'atzmo v'hagdara be'etzma tanag v'etzma olam v'lo rak meshach zman greida. So when we talk about eternal reward, we're not just describing it quantitatively different. Well, I'm used to rewards that last for 24 hours, and that's a reward that lasts forever. No, the notion of a reward that lasts forever is a qualitatively different type of reward than a reward that lasts for an hour or for a day or for a month. It's categorically different. So we're not just talking about the quantity of the reward, we're talking about the quality. It's the capacity for a pleasure. I don't even talk about the word reward, because reward, punishment, we don't know what that means. But we do know what pleasure is. We are pleasure seekers. We look to experience pleasure. We have experienced pleasure. We long to return to recover to pleasure. So, schar, think of it in the form of pleasure. And that is, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, the Ramchal, I think it's based on this pasuk of Tehillim, the Ramchal Masilas Hasharim says that the tachlis, the purpose of life is lehisaneg al Hashem. The hisaneg comes from the word tanug, oneg Shabbos. Oneg Shabbos is not about the rabbi's drasha. I mean, I hope that contributes to it. But I hope it's not the opposite of Oneg Shabbos. But Oneg Shabbos is not about the Gishmak HaChabura or Yechavrusa. Oneg Shabbos is the pleasure, the meal, the shluf. Oneg Shabbos refers to the pleasure of Shabbos. And says the Ramchal, the tachos of the world is Lehisaneg al Hashem. God created a world and put us in it with the capacity to experience incredible pleasure. He wants us to get pleasure. And He gave us the blueprint and the prescription for how to receive pleasure, but in the context of a meaningful, productive life. And pleasure in marriage, physically, pleasure with food, but with boundaries and restrictions, and so on. Pleasure is a great component. So God promises us for every mitzvah we do, the promise of eternal pleasure. And what Rav Pinkus is saying is that eternal pleasure is not similar to pleasure we know, just longer. It's an altogether different pleasure beyond our comprehension, but something that He guarantees we would look forward to. Venira, one more paragraph. Together nitzchius, umashakasa b'shem agro al pasuk. It's a great insight of the Vilna Gaon. We say in the pasuk Shir HaMalos, az yamalei sechok pinu. We say then. We'll have to say in a moment when the az. Right, Shir HaMalos. How does it begin? Hayuni kechomim b'shuv Hashem hasiyon. When Hakadosh Baruch Hu takes us back, Hayuni kechomim, will be like dreamers. Az yimalei, then, so during the time of Geula, when Hakadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back, yimalei schok pit, our mouths will be filled with schok. What does it mean? We're going to have good laughter, good jokes. We're going to share funnies, forward emails to one another. No, ma'avdal bin simcha l'schok. Why is an az yimalei simcha finu? Our mouths will be filled with simcha. Why does it say az yimalei schok pinu? Our mouths will be filled with schok. Ask the Vilna Gaon, what's the difference between schok and simcha? Ubir agra shekasher marviach adam schum. Atak, when a person receives an enormous sum. So if I walk in and I tell you, I'm your accountant, I tell you I just finished your taxes, and great news, you're getting a $100,000 tax refund, thank you, $100,000 refund. If I walk in and I tell you, great news, I bought you a lottery ticket and you won, you're getting $300 million. Az yemalei schok finu, right? What's schok? Schok is the intuitive, instinctive reaction to great news. A smile, laughter, ha! That's unbelievable, right? It's that smile, it's that laughter, it's that, you know, whoever's on the Raptors who threw that ball up from half court yesterday. Az yemalei schok finu. Achar kach behemshech hazman azu nimtza besimcha. But what happens when the news sinks in? As the news sinks in, that original laughter, that smile, turns to simcha. You're not laughing in the middle of the street while you're driving your car. You're happy. You got a bounce in your step. You're filled with simcha from the good news. So schok is the immediate reaction of joy, of laughter, of smile. Simcha is what transforms, what comes as a result. Together, schok is chatshus shel simcha. Schok is the renewal of simcha. It's the reaction of joy. In Olam Haba, the pleasure we will have will not be one we're used to, that we grow accustomed to, that we absorb the news, it's simcha. It's going to remain schok. Imagine, it's the type of pleasure that is the same level that if somebody told you every moment you just won the lottery, the reaction you would have. That schok lasts and never stops for eternity. So here Rapinkus is trying to, we'll pick it up next week, what Rapinkus is trying to do is give us at least scratch the surface of describing how little we understand. For us to begin to understand how much we don't understand about Hashem, about Tzchar, what Tzchar is, all as a prerequisite, all as a precursor to being able to daven effectively. We have to know who Hashem is and who He isn't when we turn to Him for our needs, for a meaningful relationship. Have a phenomenal day.